Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers Galaxies Issue 10. We got a video game trailer for Transformers Battlegrounds, and we also have a trailer for Transformers Earthrise. Today is Friday, October 2nd, 2020, and this is episode 201 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's making the galaxy safe for Cybertronian democracy. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
What's happening? Let's talk Transformers.
Did we surprise you? Are you just getting out of the shower?
No. I really got to come up with something to say, because I never know what to say. Just say the line, Daryl. Just say the line. I'll move on.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrons, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. You guys really help keep the show going. And if you are not a Donatron and would like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. You can also help us out by buying merchandise from our TeePublic store. That is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. You can also check out our friend K-Girl store at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. We've got lots of shirt designs and masks and other merchandise all through TeePublic. If you buy anything through our link from TeePublic, that helps us out. So just go right there, transmissionspodcast.com/shop. We've also got our, for all of our Donatrons who are automatically entered into our contest, we've got the Toy Hacks $10 giveaway. That is coming up next week, so you have until Sunday, October 4th, to enter the September drawing for our Toy Hacks $10 giveaway. If you are not a Donatron, you can still enter the contest. Just go to contest@transmissionspodcast.com. Send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com telling us you want to enter the September Toy Hacks giveaway, and send us a picture of the Transformer you would like to get stickers for. We also have the 400th anniversary giveaway coming soon, but the date is already passed for entries there. So if you didn't enter, sorry, it's too late. But we will be doing that drawing next week as well. So you can also, this coming week, check out the uncut version of Empire of Rust, episode 33, A Short Fall Off a Long Pier. And that is exclusive to our Donatrons, and that'll be out this Monday, October 5th. Also this Monday, October 5th, we have the Empire of Rust side story, A Hell by Any Other Name, Part 2. This is where Jeremy and I became new characters in the Empire of Rust universe in a separate story from the main hero story that's currently being going on with Mike. So Mike led us through a self-contained adventure here, and... This was an exclusive for our Donatron 6 months ago, but now it's available to everyone in the Empire of Rust feed at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. So check those out. All right, let's get into our comics news. So first up, we've got the manga that comes with the Generation Selects Volcanicus toy. So this is the Dinobot combiner that's being re-released, and the Takara Tomy toys that these are going to be released through their exclusive shop in Japan. They always get manga associated with them, so they've got some wild comics. And the first parts of the comics have been translated into English. This is from Tet's Toys and Shenanigans blog. I guess that's where the English translation. And we've also got part three of the same comic directly from Takara Tomy, but that one is still not translated yet, but probably will be eventually. But it's just interesting to see everything that happens in these comics. You even have Grimlock reuniting with the Technobots. If you remember your G1 Grimlock created the Technobots when he got when he became super intelligent that one time, and then he gave his intelligence to Computron to enable them to combine, the Technobots to combine. And so this little comic revisits that with Grimlock recombining with the Technobots. So, you know, it's fun. These are interesting, interesting little stories. They bring a lot of the continuities, Transformers continuities together, and it's all in service, of course, to whatever toys are being produced and sold in Takara Tomy in Japan. So they're always cool little stories. And then dedicated Transformers fans do the hard work of translating them from Japanese. So thanks to all those folks. Last bit of Transformers comics news. We've got another exclusive cover for the Transformers Back to the Future crossover. This one is from friend of the show, Livio Remondelli. So he's doing a retailer exclusive variant cover for the first issue. And this is from Scorpion Comics. And Scorpion Comics has put this comic on. You can pre-order it now. I don't know if it's sold out yet, but hopefully by the time you hear this podcast, it's not sold out, so you can still order it.
The link for the pre-sale goes to a private Facebook group, so you probably have to join the group. So good luck.
Yeah. But it is cool that this image is a Megatron staring down, Megatron in Hill Valley staring down Marty and the DeLorean. It's a very cool image. Livio Remondelli, I think it's his style is something that a lot of folks like, but a lot of folks also tend to dislike. So it depends on your point of view. But I'm a fan of Livio's style. So
it really seems like a little bit different than his normal style. Hmm. Like at least the background, like the building and stuff. It looks neat.
Yep. All right. That is all our comics news. So we will move on to our comic review. And we are reviewing Transformers Galaxies, Issue 10, Storm Horizon, Part 1. Written by Brandon Easton, art by Andrew Griffith, colors by Josh Burcham, letters and design by Jake M. Wood, editors David Marriott and Tom Waltz, and assistant editor Riley Farmer. We've got three covers for this issue, and this is the start of our Ultra Magnus storyline. So cover A is by Andrew Griffith and is an action pose of Ultra Magnus with Alpha Trion, and I guess that's Sound Blaster in the background. It's not actually Soundwave, but I think that's that hasn't been revealed yet in the story, but I'm just guessing. And then since Soundwave is on Earth and doing stuff in the main series, I imagine he's not doing anything with Ultra Magnus. Cover B is by Thomas Deere, and it's a split screen of Ultra Magnus and Alpha Trion. It's a cool image. And then the retailer incentive cover is by Jack Lawrence and Josh Burcham, colors by Josh Burcham, and it's Ultra Magnus in a battle scene, fighting his way through hordes of enemies. It's a cool dynamic image. And that's art by Jack Lawrence, colors by Josh Burcham. So, Jeremy, which of these three covers are you liking the most?
I like them all. I think they all look really good. If I had to choose one, I mean, the retailer incentive is just so dynamic. I'd probably go with that one if I had to pick just one.
Daryl, which one would you pick?
I really like Thomas Deere's. It's his lines are really clean and really crisp on this one. But Jack Lawrence is getting me with the dynamic pose on that one, with the destruction in the background and him just having Ultra Magnus reaching for the bots on this one. It's really awesome. I like it. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the RI.
All right, I think I will make it a clean sweep and also pick the retailer incentive cover. I agree that dynamic pose looks awesome, but I also agree that Thomas Deere's cover has really clean line art, so I really like that one as well. And then, of course, Andrew Griffith He gets points for being the interior artist as well, and you know, it's a consistent style with the cover, and I like that image too. Yeah, I think Jack Lawrence and Josh Burcham hit it out the park here. All right, let's talk about the story. So, 2.2 megacycles ago, Ultra Magnus was a general in Cybertron's army in the war against the Threefold Spark. Disarmed and surrounded by Exarchon's troops, Magnus was in a tight spot. But if he goes down, he's determined to take his enemies with him. Just as the enemy swarms him, he's rescued by his comrade in arms, a fusion cannon wielding Megatron. Together, they battle back Exarchon's army. Megatron laments the war and senseless slaughter, hoping for a quick end and a return to peace. But Magnus replies that war and destruction are necessary to bring about a renewed Cybertron. Apparently, in the past, Ultra Magnus was much more cynical than Megatron. In the present day, Ultra Magnus commands the Fist of Iacon, a Cybertronian exploration starship, on a mission thousands of light years from Cybertron. After taking out a swarm of Silicon energy leeches on an asteroid, Megatron returns to his ship to receive an encrypted message from Cybertron. As he plays the holographic message in his private quarters, the image of Jazz relays disturbing news. His old friend Alpha Trion has gone missing. Forgetting his current mission, Magnus orders his lieutenant Chrome Dome to analyze all the data they have and begin searching for the missing Alpha Trion immediately. Alpha Trion's subspace beacon went offline in the Decimus sector. A sketchy section of the galaxy populated by outlaws. But there the trail goes cold. Magnus orders Chrome Dome to lay in a course, and they shortly arrive at the planet Quoria in the Decimus sector. They're surprised to find another ship waiting for them in orbit. Suspicious, they hail the unidentified vessel, but the ship immediately attacks them. It's no match for the Fist of Iacon, and they quickly disable the ship's weapons and engines. It's caught in the gravity well of the planet below and heads for a crash landing. Though the ship was disabled, Magnus ordered it left structurally intact so the crew would survive the landing and he can go down to the planet and to interrogate them. Magnus takes Chrome Dome and an away team in a shuttle down to the planet to investigate the hostile ship. Due to the instability of the crash site, they have to land some distance away and approach on foot. They ignore the native rock-like Quarians as they make their way through the wilderness to the crash ship. As they get closer, Chrome Dome detects traces of an Energon-based tool, and they find a Cybertronian message carved into some nearby rocky hills. Interestingly, this was found in the opposite direction from the crashed ship. The message appears to be from Alpha Trion, claiming he was searching for the lost artifacts from Cybertron's Age of Expansion. But Magnus and Chrome Dome are skeptical. This reeks of an obvious trap. Magnus sends Chrome Dome and the rest of his team back to the Fist of Iacon to do a more thorough analysis. Magnus continues to explore the area alone. Eventually, he discovers more Cybertronian tracks that lead Magnus to another valley. To his horror, he discovers a den of splice thieves, Cybertronians and other aliens who sell the bodies, transformation cogs, and brain modules of Cybertronians for spare parts to the highest bidder. He tries to contact Chrome Dome, but the comms have gone dead, almost as if they were being jammed. In orbit on the Fist of Iacon, Chrome Dome and the crew are caught in another trap. Several Cybertronian ships appear on their scanners surrounding the ship. Apparently, these ships had been cloaked and were waiting for the right time to strike. That time is now, as the ship is rocked by blasts from the enemy crafts. The ship is boarded, and Chrome Dome and the crew are taken captive. Down on Quoria, Magnus discovers one poor Cybertronian still alive, but being scavenged for parts. The bot begs for the release of death, but Magnus hesitates to kill an innocent bot. The choice is made for him when a blast from behind Magnus puts the bot out of his misery. Spinister and his crew of splice thieves have arrived. Magnus is enraged to see Spinister, an exiled Cybertronian from the previous war. Magnus attacks him and the other spice thieves in a rage, but Spinister warns him that if Magnus takes him out, his crew is doomed. Spinister is a reasonable bot. He needs Magnus, and if he does what he wants, Spinister will spare Magnus's crew. Magnus is further enraged that Spinister is willing to sell out fellow Cybertronians for a quick buck. but Spinister just laughs in his face. Spinister replies that Magnus has no idea what's going on Cybertron, and that the precious Cybertronian civilization and ideals he holds dear are nothing but a memory of a forgotten age. Spinister's deal is simple. He wants to find Alpha Trion and those lost ancient Cybertronian artifacts as well. He's traced Alpha Trion's ship to the Black Sphere, a planetary system near a supermassive black hole. Spinister wants Magnus to go get him. If he refuses, Magnus's crew is toast. Magnus looks at the captured crew, Cybertronian scientists and explorers, very brave, but not warriors. Chronodome urges him not to agree to Spinister's demands, even if it means their lives are forfeit. But Magnus won't have their deaths on his conscience. Begrudgingly, he agrees to Spinister's terms. Magnus will find Alpha Trion. To be continued. So, Daryl, what did you think of this new take on Ultra Magnus?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it's... I like the idea that the ship is, you know, he's got this whole science vessel. It's an interesting aspect. He's like Spinister had kind of mentioned, he's the one warrior surrounded by all these scientists. I did enjoy the part where when they were at the start, when the other ship kind of came up a broadside of them and they just annihilated it. I'm really kind of wondering who that is. You know, we really don't see them. And then also the question left unanswered is who boarded the Fist of Iacon, because they're just left in the shadows. So I'm kind of curious as to who that is as well. All in all, I thought it was a pretty good first issue. The group that Spinister kind of is in charge of here or is leading seems to be made up completely of just like a ragtag bunch of people, you know, all different, you know, races and species. So that that seems kind of interesting. I think Magnus killed somebody. You know, you see a panel where he's taking the head off of a, looks like a seeker. He's definitely pretty, I don't know, quick with the sword on this one. Yeah, I think it's okay. It's a good start. As far as the art, I think the art's really good. Andrew's killing it. I noticed right away at the beginning of the issue is that Magnus holsters or sleeves his sword in his back. I thought that was an interesting kind of position to put that sword. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a good start. I thought there was enough action in it too. You kind of mentioned that it might not have been as action packed as you would like, but I thought it would. It had enough kind of stuff for me in this one.
Jeremy, what did you think?
I enjoyed it. It's a nice introduction to Magnus, where he's not the same. He's obviously not the same character from the previous continuity, but you could still see, you know, the core Magnus properties are there. He's smart. He's very capable in battle. I really like seeing that. If anything, he's a little bit kind of too gung-ho. Like Joel said, he's, you know, kind of, you know, killed a guy. I'm really interested seeing where this is going to go, like the search for Alpha Trion. And I like his crew with like Chromedome, I guess, is like the main character we interact with. We get a bunch of generic aliens on the other side, and then Spinister, which... The Spinister looks like so much like the toy. Like some of these are like Magnus looks like Magnus, but Spinister definitely looks like the toy. But you know, I think this, he looks great. And I love how all the characters are written. This is setting up to be, I think, my kind of story with, I mean, there is action, but there's also, it's a very brainy story. I think I'm looking forward to seeing where this is going. And yeah, the art was just fantastic. And Josh's color is just, it's dark and moody, and I like where, like, there's a lot of shadow and you can see light playing off some of the characters, like where they're like bathed in red and stuff. It's very, very, very cool uses of the coloring here, and makes it feel kind of like it's out in space. And all around, I enjoyed this.
For me, I really enjoyed this as well. I think this one thing that interested me. So we interviewed Brandon Easton last month and talked about his work on War for Cybertron Siege. And one of the things he mentioned was that he felt like you could even draw a straight line from this, you know, kind of pre-war continuity into War for Cybertron Siege. And I got hints of that with that one little scene with in the past where Megatron and Ultra Magnus were fighting a war together. And that's, you know, that's obliquely referenced in the War for Cybertron Siege, though, that they used to be comrades in the previous war. And it feels like this Ultra Magnus could eventually become that Ultra Magnus that we saw in Siege, who had been totally disillusioned with the war at that point. But I just thought it was interesting. And the way Brandon has developed this story makes this Ultra Magnus feel like the same character that we got in Siege, even though they're separated by millions of years here. But yeah, I appreciate Andrew Griffith coming back to do art duties here. I think he did a great job, and it's a great new version of Ultra Magnus here. Really, you know, much more not the the kind of OCD one we had back in the previous IDW continuity, and more of a gung-ho, no-nonsense guy. And it's nice to also see Chrome Dome come back, although I would have appreciated having Rewind there as well. But, you know, it's a totally new continuity, so we're not revisiting that that whole, you know, thing from More Than Meets the Eye. But it's nice to have Chrome Dome back as a scientist here. I would have liked some more, like, just a few more background characters. Like, we didn't get any names for any of the other Transformers on the ship with Ultra Magnus, so I'm curious if those were any particular guys. And we don't know who else was with Spinister in addition to the other aliens, but if there are any other Transformers with Spinister, working with Spinister. So I guess we'll get that revealed in the next two issues. Yeah, so that will do it for this issue of Transformers Galaxies, issue number 10. And so we will move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in Media News this week, not a whole heck of a lot. We got a new trailer for the Transformers Battlegrounds game that is coming out real soon. And surprise, it still looks like shit.
Wow. Hot take coming through.
October 23rd is the release date of this game. It comes out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, as well as Nintendo Switch.
And Switch.
So there you go. Yep. I was getting there. Jesus. So take a look at this game. This is, I mean, If you're looking for a game that's reminds you of Devastation or back in the Fall of Cybertron, War of Cybertron stuff, this isn't it. This is a game based on the Cyberverse world, and it's not, I don't know, it doesn't look to be as good as those other games. So the character models are based on Cyberverse, like I said. Yeah, take a look at the trailer for yourself and you might see what I'm talking about. So yeah.
It's meant for casual fans.
Yeah, and kids. So as far as other stuff, we got some TV and streaming news. The making of War for Cybertron Siege panel was on the Rooster Teeth at home thing.
RTX at home.
What's RTX?
It's their convention that they usually have in person in Austin every year.
Oh, okay. Great. RTX at home. So they had a panel, and I didn't watch it. Jeremy, you watched it, right?
I caught the last 5 minutes because I had work.
Gotcha. So did I.
But
so people who worked didn't watch it.
From a summary I saw on TFW, that nothing really new came out of it. They showed some art, like some storyboards and stuff.
Okay.
Obviously, the real news was coming later.
Gotcha. And we've got, and we were talking about in the show earlier on in the week, we got PulseCon was this week. We got Transformers Entertainment Media Panel, and it showed off the Earthrise trailer. And yes, I did watch this. This kind of dropped, and I checked it out, and it looked pretty cool. A few nice panels in this thing. The trailer looks pretty good. We're going to post the link in the show notes so you can check it out if you haven't seen it already, but it looks pretty good. It does not show a lot of stuff except for one thing. The mercenary faction is back, although there aren't any factions here. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, we get to see some of our characters. We definitely see Jetfire. So the team on Cybertron is still kicking and doing something. Red Alert looks to be under some kind of fight. He's in some kind of distress. We check in with Optimus and the crew on somewhere. They've touched down somewhere with a bunch of people. So Earthrise is coming. Yeah, the trailer is fun, and it's a good. I think the distance between the release of Siege and this trailer for Earthrise is nice to keep the palette wet and people wanting the show to continue or the story to continue. So I think we're good here. Jeremy, did you obviously watch the trailer? What were your thoughts on it?
I enjoyed it. I love a trailer that doesn't really give away any plot points, and that's what this was. It showed us a lot, but we have no context. I like that we saw so many different mercenaries. Like you see Bumblebee choking out Bugbite, and you know, being the same mold. Thought that was cool. We see like another space bridge. Like there's a scene where Optimus is looking at another space bridge, and you know, that's interesting. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. We did not get a date, so I was hoping we would. And I really hope this thing will come out and sooner. We don't have to wait a whole year.
Yeah.
Cause even I'm itching to see more.
Even an approximate date, like, you know, here we are, we're in the fall now. They could say spring 2021, and so it gives us a
Christmas
kind of a
2020
3-month gap or something like that, right? So yeah. But yeah, so that was kind of cool. Charles, have you seen the trailer?
I did watch the trailer, and yeah, I'm excited. I still wish we had more than 6 episodes. I think it feels like there's a lot of story to tell, and we're only getting 6 episodes here to tell tell both the Optimus Prime and the Ark and their story, and then come back to Cybertron and see what's going on with Megatron still fighting the Autobots. Although, I mean, we do get a little bit more sympathy for Megatron because he's dealing with the environmental degradation of Cybertron with the loss of the Allspark. So it's interesting to, you know, even though he was going to use the Allspark for his own nefarious means, now with the Allspark gone, he's left kind of holding the bag on Cybertron.
I mean, he caused a lot of that degradation. So fuck him.
All right. Hot takes coming through. More hot takes. Got them right here.
And I guess we'll close out media news here with the last episode of we're done, we don't have to say it anymore. Okay, yeah, no more episodes of Cyberverse are airing on YouTube.
Yep,
but they're still there.
They are still there. But that's it for media news.
All right, and that brings us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. We again have to shout out our Masterpiece Donatrions, and that is currently John 4X Levengood. Thank you, John, for continuing to be a Masterpiece Donatrion, and we really appreciate your support of the show. So thank you for continuing to do that. All right, everyone, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
And so we will move on to Transformers Media News.
Anytime now.
Cough, 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 cough.
Oh, it helps if you unmute the iPad.
Charles, you are posting in the wrong chat, my friend.
Sorry. I do that every week.